I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The famed television personality, author, and restaurateur Lydia Bastianich joins me now. She was in Vancouver earlier this week for sold-out appearances, and she's got a new book out, Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking, co-written with her daughter Tanya Emanuele. In the book, there are over 100 recipes that aren't difficult to make. They're hearty, and they're full of flavors, just like we see on her television programs, Lydia's Italy, among others. It was for that program that Miss Bastianich won an Emmy Award. You can watch the show on PBS as well as in Canada on TLN. The website for more is at lydiasitaly.com. The book is published by Appetite, which is an imprint of Random House. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Lydia Bastianich. Miss Bastianich, good morning.
Buongiorno, Joseph.
Buongiorno. So it must be a great delight for you as you travel across the United States and Canada to meet people who are big fans of yours, who've watched your shows and who read your books and who use your books as they have. I mean, to them, you're like their Nona, aren't you?
Yes, yes. It's very rewarding, Joseph. It's to see, first of all, you know, how connected they feel to me. You know, they seem to know me well. I guess they follow me. Then, you know, they cook my food. So my flavors and my aromas permeate their homes. And you're absolutely right. I think that I represent for a lot of people kind of that motherly or grandmotherly position of security and comfort and welcome in a home. And, you know, I'm happy to see, they give me as much as maybe I give them when I see them and I hear this from them.
Could you have imagined all of this back in the 1970s when you first started your restaurant?
No, never, never. I started my first restaurant in 1971. I was young, and my food was passion was my food, and I, you know, ever more developed it, and this passion grew. But everything, you know, the way my career evolved is purely organic. It's, you know, just the next step, and I was excited and enthusiastic, and I took the next step and the next opportunity, and, you know, I worked at it, and so it was really a very organic growth, mine, I must say.
Now, you first appeared on television, was that with Julia Child?
I did. Julia was kind of quite instrumental in me being on television, also my style of television. When in... we opened Falidia Restaurant on 58th Street in Manhattan in 1981. By then, you know, 10 years already, I had worked in our own restaurant, but as a sous chef. Mm-hmm. There in Falidia, I became the chef, and when I began to cook was regional Italian cooking. I said, you know, I need to cook what Italy is eating. And so a lot of curious journalists and Julia Child and Tammy Spear, and she would come. And oddly enough, you know, you just told me about the risotto that you were kind of interested in, mm-hmm. and she was the same thing. I had to teach her how to do the risotto. She wanted, I remember, specifically a mushroom risotto. And so then she invited me, became friends. She invited me to be part of her show. We did two episodes in her MasterChef series. And then, of course, the producer said, gee, you know, you're pretty good at this. How about your own show? And that's how I evolved into having my show and staying on PBS because, you know, that's a venue that's educational, and I like that.
Yeah. You know, I saw a program you did this past summer, the Lydia Celebrates Italy, I think it's called, where you went to different places and you ate different sort of food from different ethnic groups.
Oh, Lydia Celebrates America.
America.
And that is, you know, because for me, food is an entree into a culture. You know, this is how I think, but I think it's for all of us. How you really learn about a culture, maybe the first and easiest way is to sit down and eat the food of that culture or two. So I did that, and there's still some more specials coming. It's, you know, me being an immigrant and really searching out the immigrant communities in America and see, you know, how they bring their food and their celebration into America as a whole. So that's very interesting. I have one coming the day after after Christmas on the 27th of December on PBS, so stay tuned.
Yeah, no, that's a great show. You had Renee Fleming on there, and
That was the 4th of July celebration, celebrating sort of America's birthday and whatever. And, it was Renee Fleming, and then I went to Jefferson's
Monticello, house.
Monticello, and we talked about how he brought different products from, so it was quite, then I went all the way down to Galveston,
mm-hmm.
Celebrating the Juneteenth, which is kind of a celebration of the Afro-American community there, of their Emancipation Proclamation. They only found out 2 years later after the proclamation was released. So that was very interesting. They celebrate every year. So, yeah, different interesting celebration around America.
Yeah, my parents are Filipino. Did you like the Filipino food that you got to try?
I loved it. I had a with Alex Mopa.
Yeah.
He kind of, and you know, I always took somebody that is of that ethnicity to take me in. I love the adobo.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the one thing that I was really perplexed by was the ketchup, the banana ketchup.
Yeah.
That kind of, you know, he said, "Oh, we dress our spaghetti." Now that was sacrilegious to me. But okay.
Now, when people think of Italian cooking, they look at it and they think it's complicated, that you have to be huddled over a stove for hours. But after watching you for years and now reading this book of yours, it is rather easy, and you can make a lot of delicious things. I mean, there's a great variety, isn't there?
Absolutely. That's the thrust of this book, you know, sort of common sense cooking. And Italy is all about that. The Italian cooking is simple. The premises is get the best ingredients that you can, get them in the season that they are best. Do not travel too far to get them. You know, locally is great. And elaborate them very simply.
Yeah.
Because if nature gives you something, if you get it at the best, you know, now there's mushrooms, there's squash, there's so many delightful apples. Use these ingredients to make the recipes. And, you know, again, going just back to risotto. Risotto, you know, I give you, I think in the book, I give you one how to use lettuce, all the lettuce leaves that are on the outside that you don't use much, so people throw away,
uh-huh.
How to make a risotto. But you can take that same technique and make it with squash, which is now, or make it with mushroom. So this is what this book really, I hope to do with this book, is kind of liberate people in the kitchen, lead them a little bit to their common sense, and have success in cooking simple Italian food.
And then if you don't have all of the stuff in that you call for in the recipe, you can make substitutions, right?
Absolutely. You know, I have no problem. You know, I'm not so proprietary of the recipes, because you know, none of them are really my recipes. I didn't invent any recipes. So that's what, in a culture, that's how recipes evolved. You know, the substitution, the seasonality, and so on. So, you know, I want readers out there to go with the sensibility in their kitchen and just get cooking.
And in terms of pasta, because, I mean, people always ask about whether you should use fresh pasta or dried pasta. For you, using dried pasta is not a big deal. I mean,
I love dried pasta. It's two different subjects, actually.
Yeah.
You know, they have the pasta name both, but it's two different things. You know, fresh pasta is making it fresh, and it has a different texture, and it's, you know, kind of a different thing. Dried pasta is delicious. I love it. I love the kind of bite that it has. I love the way it absorbs sauce. So, you know, I really love dry pasta as much, if not more, than fresh pasta.
And when we cook pasta, we were taught years ago to put olive oil in it. We shouldn't.
No, do not do that, Giuseppe. Don't do that. It's the old saying, if you throw the pasta to the wall and it sticks,
right.
It's done. Well, you know, there's some truth to that. And if you put oil, kind of the oil coats the pasta, because it's that little stickiness where the sauce adheres to. And if you put oil in it, that the pasta becomes very slippery, and the sauce doesn't absorb the sauce. So the sauce lies in the puddle on the bottom of the plate, and the pasta is squirming all over, slippery. So you don't want that. You want pasta cooked in salted water, a little bit al dente. Do not even rinse it. you know, drain it and put it right in the sauce and then kind of finish cooking it in the sauce so that it has a chance to absorb the sauce in.
And in terms of tomatoes, when we're making tomato sauce, you're fine with canned tomatoes. And the difference between, say, when the plum tomatoes that we see and then we also hear of San Marzano.
Well, okay, let's address first the using of fresh versus canned.
Yeah.
I think that fresh tomatoes, when in season, the perfectly ripe, they're the best.
Uh-huh.
But using tomatoes that are not bright or whatever versus a good canned tomato is not my choice. When the tomatoes are not ripe, I prefer canned tomatoes. And in choosing canned tomatoes, I like the San Marzano tomatoes or the tomatoes. Now, the San Marzano, and the plum is a species of the San Marzano, this kind of elongated tomato. I like them is that they're very thin skin. They have a lot of pulp, not too much juice, so not too much acidity, not too many seeds. Seeds have tannins and make the sauce bitter. So San Marzano tomato is the tomato of choice to make a good sauce that has body, that's not too acidic or it's not bitter.
Now, you dedicate the book to your mother. We see her on the show from time to time. She's 93. What's her secret?
I think good eating. You know, she eats well. I think genes are number one. But secondly, I think eating well, lots of vegetables. She's not into meat all that much. She has a glass of wine. And I think she just enjoys life. You know, and she's always fiddling around, doing something, helping me. She still lives with us. You know, she's 93 and she lives with us.
Yeah, now your family's been part of the business for years now, and your kids, both of your kids, Joe and Tanya, have found success on camera as well. Did they grow up expected to go into your business?
No. I used to tell them, you know, I mean, they grew up in the business because that was it. And what you did in those days, you know, they came and ate because I worked. So the whole family during the week after school would come, we would eat, and then they would go home and sleep, go to sleep with grandma, do their homework. I would continue working in the evening. And especially when they got up to teenage years, I used to tell them, this is not what you want to do. You want to get your education. You're in America. You want to get a real job. I always used to kind of drill this into them. And ultimately, what do you think? Both of them decided, I mean, they got their education. My son went on to Masters in Business, Wall Street. My daughter got a PhD from Oxford in Renaissance Art History, and now they both work with me with great knowledge, enthusiasm, and, you know, I'm very happy.
And are they good cooks themselves?
They're pretty good cooks, absolutely. You know, they know how to eat. They're knowledgeable about food. You know, do they practice as much? Have they been behind the stove as much? No, not as much, but they, you know, my daughter cooks for her family regularly, gets the children involved. My son also loves to cook, so they're good cooks. You know, if you like to eat, you know how to cook.
Now you keep a busy schedule, traveling and the sort, and the work that you do for the television show. Are you still having fun doing it all?
I still have fun, Joseph. I love doing it. You know, I get an opportunity of meeting people, of seeing and experiencing different parts of America, of the world. I just, you know, working with my children, I just have a grand time writing books, television. I love it all.
Yeah. A couple of other notes that I'm just, since I have you on the phone, I'd like to ask you about.
Absolutely.
We all benefit from having chicken stock around, but to make a big pot of it seems to be a lot of work. You say we should freeze it?
Yeah, it's not a lot of work. First of all, you freeze everything leading up to soup. So when you buy your chicken, save the neck, save the wings, whatever, the carcass, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Even if you have a rotisserie chicken, the carcass, save that, freeze it, all freeze it, freeze the tops of the celery, freeze the greens of the leeks, all of these things, you know, freeze them a little bit at a time. Then when you're ready to get the soup, you accumulate it all together, and all you pull it everything out of the freezer. You add to it fresh celery, parsley. Even the rinds of the grating cheese, of grana padano, you know, you save that, and you put a big pot, with water and all these things in it, and, you know, just let it sort of bubble away. Usually I leave it about 2 hours, and then you strain it, you defat it, you know, and then you put it away as you use. So if you have a big family, I do it all the time, also because of my family when they come, because of my mother, I put it in quart containers. But, you know, for smaller families, put it in pints. Even in cubes and smaller, so like let's say that you're doing a chicken dish.
Yeah.
You know, chicken, breast of chicken, and you're putting in, I don't know, some garlic, some olives or whatever, and you need a just take one ice cube of chicken stock or whatever, throw it in. I suggest the same thing to save the same way if you do pesto. You know, in the summertime we have a lot of herbs. Make them into pesto, freeze them into little containers, even ice trays, and then kind of wrap them up well so they don't get oxidized. And then, just when you're making that great soup, throw an ice cube of pesto in the soup. Very refreshing. Tomato sauce or sauce, you know. Even if it's a if it's a half a cup, save that half a cup of tomato because it, again, let's say you're doing shrimps, garlic and oil, and then you have this kind of half a cup of tomato. You throw that in with a little bit of wine, and you get yourself a grand sauce.
Yeah.
So just save all of those things. That's the common sense.
And when you're making vegetables, so you're blanching them, boiling them, or steaming them. When's the right time to salt them? Because, I mean, some people put the salt into the water and then throw the vegetables in.
No. After, yeah. Because if you put, it becomes like a saline solution and then, you know, you're boiling the salt. When you have steamed your vegetables, you have strained it or whatever, it's steaming hot, then you salt it as much as you like and let the vegetable take in. So you have the freshness of the vegetable and the saltiness that balances it. But it's not kind of a salty broccoli altogether. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Lydia, it's been such a delight talking to you today. Congratulations on all the success, and good luck with this book.
Thanks, Joseph, and keep in touch if you need any more information.
I'll try the risotto this weekend.
Okay, do it.
Yeah. The website for more is at lydiasitaly.com. The book is called Lydia's Common Sense Italian Cooking. It's from Appetite, which is an imprint of Random House. Its author, Lydia Bastianich, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.